I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wyler from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
You're listening to Run with Coach Parry. As you've heard, my name is Brad. It's great to have you with us. And it's another one of our Fly on the Wall one-on-one coaching calls today. And the guest is Taryn Allwright. And she joins us. Coach Lindsay Parry with us once again as well. Taryn is a member of the Coach Parry Online Training Club. She's been training with us for a good few months now. And today we're going to be finding out a little bit about her running journey, how she got started. We're going to be talking about how to deal with the doubts leading into a goal race, the 2 weeks where you start your taper and you start thinking, have I done enough? Am I ready? Can I reach my goal? We're going to be talking about that. And then we're also going to be looking at why it's better to go into a goal race being slightly underdone as opposed to overdone, and a whole lot more. We're going to be talking about goal setting as well as a pacing strategy for a 225 to 220 half marathon. So that's all coming up on today's podcast. If you haven't checked out the new Ask Coach Parry podcast feed yet, please do. Just search for Ask Coach Parry podcast in the podcast player you're listening to. The response has been phenomenal. And I also, we're doing it on that podcast, and I thought we'll do it here too. If you haven't left us a rating or review yet on the podcast player you listen to, please do. We're going to give away 3 months access to the Coach Parry Online Training Club to someone who leaves us a review for this podcast as well. So all you need to do is leave us a review, and I'll announce the winner in a couple of weeks' time from now. So if you haven't left us one yet, what it does is it just really helps us get in front of more people and more runners just like you. Those reviews are really important, and it's a way for you to sort of give something back to us. If you'd like to support us as a business, if you get great value out of these podcasts, that's one way you can do it. It doesn't cost you anything, and it really helps us in a big way. So please do consider doing that, and I'll announce the winner in a few weeks from now. Enough of me. Let's get straight into our call with Taryn and Coach Parry.
Hi, Taryn. Awesome to have you on one of our Coach Parry coaching calls. How are you doing this morning?
Great. Thanks, Lindsay. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here.
That's always a pleasure. So, Taryn, tell us a little bit about your running background. What got you into running? What motivates you? And what is the ultimate goal?
I think the main reason I got into running is because I suffer quite severely from FOMO. Okay. Everyone around me had started running, and I tried it out, and yeah, you get hooked. I mean, it's something that's pretty addictive, and it's, I think I've been running probably about on and off for about 10 years now.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So at the moment you're running once a week.
No, I'm running about 4 times a week.
Okay, right. So I just pull that off your question. So 4 times a week plus, so that's not one. That says I run and do Pilates. Okay, so you've been training on and off for the last 10 years. Tell us some of your running achievements.
I think what I've enjoyed the most over the last few years is joining your program and taking the pressure off by, someone telling you to run slower is something I've really, really enjoyed. It's gotten me through some of those barriers where I think I just can't anymore. And, you know, like I said, taking that pressure off and just running a bit slower has changed a lot of the mind, the head training, as I like to call it.
Essentially made it more enjoyable.
Absolutely.
You're not getting to the end of each session exhausted.
Exactly. And that's been, and over the last few years, that's been the one thing that's actually made the biggest difference.
Okay, awesome. And how long have you been a part of Coach Parry?
Since November. So I joined in November as, with the 12-week program in mind. And then Sunday is my goal race.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm hoping that it all pays off.
Cool. So we're definitely going to talk about that before the end of this. When did you run your 10-kilometer PB of 101?
That was at the Irene CSI. So that was probably about September last year. So yeah.
Okay, brilliant. So that's a pretty reasonable time in terms of your actual goal. I mean, that does point to you having the ability of running around about 215 to 217.
So that's the goal.
From that point of view, we are looking pretty good. So that 224 PB will hopefully be falling soon. Okay, well, that's brilliant. It's always nice when we can look at the metrics and say, yes, we are indeed capable of our goal. You've been following a sub 2.5 hour 21K program on the Coach Perry site. So hopefully you've got some questions both about the race and about the training. So you've got a good couple of minutes now, so take advantage of that opportunity and ask me anything running related that you've been wondering while you're out on the road.
Yeah. I think first of all, for this one, I've stuck to it as much as I can, obviously being, you know, it was over December. So some of the strength training that I usually do a Pilates or a yoga class for was not available to me. So I sort of, that was up to me to do. And then some of that I didn't get to. So I'm just feeling a little bit nervous for Sunday. I hope that I've done enough. I've followed it probably about 90 to 95%. It's felt great and I've been enjoying it a lot. So I think I just hope that I've done enough. I think it's my head that's not in the game.
Look, we always get, as we approach race day, we get that little picking in the back of our brain, especially because in the last 2 weeks we are running less and less. We start to question how fit we actually are and have we done enough. And no matter what race you train for in your life, you're invariably going to wish you just had a little bit more time to train. And honestly, that's a much better feeling, and it gives you a much better chance of success than the opposite, which is I'm tired, I'm desperate to taper, and I've done too much training. So we always want to do slightly too little. Always have to be careful when I say that, because then some people will take advantage of that.
You
really do want to be a little bit too little than a little bit too much. It's the better side to make a mistake on. And as for the rest, I mean, one of the things I always try to impress upon people is that a single training session will not be the difference between success or failure. So missing the odd session here and there, so you tell me you've done 90 to 95%, then you have done enough. You've pretty much followed the program pretty well. Yeah. So I think you can be confident that you have a really good chance of achieving the goal you've set for yourself.
Okay, that's good to hear. I think another thing that I've been going back and forth on is nutrition. I don't know what I'm doing. Up until about a month ago, I was doing the, you know, Coke and water on the race, you know, a bit of Pronutra and a banana, that sort of thing. I've been trying to switch it up the last, I would say, about 4 weeks. I've been trying to switch it up and do a high-fat, low-carb thing, which hasn't, it's actually been pretty good for me. I haven't felt too many of the effects running. So I haven't had any Coke during the, I've just stuck to water and nut butters and maybe a banana during the longer runs. I'm not sure what your opinion is and what.
So
I really don't know what to do.
To fuel high performance exercise, you need carbohydrates. It's like it's essentially the difference between putting unleaded 93 and high octane fuel into a Ferrari. Okay. But in terms of your general lifestyle, health, and even doing like endurance exercise, the high fat, low carb, it really can work, and it can work well, particularly the mm-hmm. further you go and the lower the intensity of the exercise is for the duration of that exercise. Yeah. Again, if you moved into the realm of you know, you really get into running and enjoy it, and it starts to get to this point where you're driving yourself towards like sub 45 tens and sub 140 21s and that sort of thing. You get to a point where you are going to have to fuel those efforts using carbohydrates. So, and I do work with quite a few people who are high fat, low carbers, and what I find is that we can still fuel in exercise carbohydrates as we need them, and potentially also in the real recovery period. So the other side is that for something like a half marathon, 2-hour-ish of exercise, we really don't need loads of stored energy we don't need loads of extraneous energy, stuff that we take mm-hmm. in, because we do have enough stored energy. Okay. So the fact that you're using things like nut butters, the fact that you use things like bananas, if you added things like dates into that mix, you will then be getting enough carbohydrates to fuel the kind of exercise that you're doing. Okay. And one of the important things that you've already said is that you do actually feel quite good on this type of eating. And you aren't having any negative effects during exercise, like hitting low energy, feeling weak.
Not at all.
So yeah. From that point of view, I'm quite happy. And again, especially because your focus is up to the 21. Nutrition yeah. isn't, it's really not as critical as it is, say, for a marathon and an ultra. And you are experimenting on your longer runs anyway with using nut butters, which are excellent, bananas, which are really good, and a decent form of a medium glycemic sugar. Mm-hmm. And so as you went along, if you decided to go longer, as you went along, you would have to experiment. And the one thing that people are fearful of when they are on these high-fat, low-carb diets is that, well, what happens now if I do take sugar on a run? Mm-hmm. If you need carbohydrates and you drink Coke or Powerade because you are starting to run low on energy on a run, it's just going to make you feel good, because the sugar is going to make you feel good. And obviously, once you finish the race, you'll just go back to your normal eating low carb, high fat.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's a good tip, actually. So if I have a bit of a dip during a run, just have a Coke on the next water point
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, the one thing about that I must say is that once that process starts, then you'll have to just quite regularly top that up.
Yeah.
But you won't have any more ill effects than having no energy, that's for sure. That's about as bad as it'll be.
Okay. No, that's fair enough. But that actually brings me to my next question. So from here, once I've finished the race on Sunday, my next goal is in three months is to do the Wally Hayward 10K in under an hour. And then I'd like to then aim for Cape Town Marathon. It'll be my first marathon. And it'll be my first, hopefully my first sub hour 10K.
Yes.
So those are my goals for the year.
So I'm extremely confident that you'll go under an hour for Wally Hayward. In fact, I feel that I reckon we'll see how the 21 goes, and then we can work out a more accurate number for you or to target. But from your history and looking at where you are now, my gut tells me that you're probably around between 55 and 57 minutes is what you should get to on Wally. I'm extremely confident that by October you will be comfortably under 5 hours. I wouldn't put a number on it yet. We can do that later, but you'll be comfortably under 5 hours for a marathon.
Okay. Yeah. And I suppose nutrition wise, that'll change, but we can talk about that when the time comes.
Yeah, look, for the marathon, you'll have to start putting some strategies in place, but it'll be about just seeing how often you need to take a nut butter and how often you need a banana. And obviously bananas, you're not going to carry 5 bananas. So it'll be then a question of, okay, well, what else can we try that's a little bit easier to carry, that's more natural, that is slightly lower glycemic sugars. Not that that makes a huge difference while you're running, but it's just things that you will be comfortable with on your palate that you'll look forward to eating.
I think the last question I've got is just about what to do. Okay, so I've got a plan until May, because that'll take me to Wally Hayward. What do I do then in between then and October? What sort of program should I be following? Is there a bridge program that I should
look? There will be a lot of time. So just in terms of physical week, so Wally's the 3rd of May. So they're in excess of 20 weeks. So I would probably go on to another 21K program, again, based on what your time is on the 10K, this 21 plus the 10K, where you end up. I would either look at going on to another 21 and seeing how much we can improve your 21K time by, or we could split up into slightly shorter things and do another 10 or a 5 or a combination of those things. So you'll have quite a lot of options. But what I always tell people is that your biggest sort of force multiplier of improvement is being consistent over a long period of time. So we would definitely need to then find you another goal, something that makes you excited to keep you on a nice structured program so that you do essentially have one more stepping stone between that and going on to Comrades program. Yeah.
Yeah. So should I then just do that and then only concentrate on actual marathon training 12 weeks before?
Yeah, 12 to 16 weeks. So again, because of the level that you will be at, we won't necessarily need to target a 21 that's another 12 weeks away. We would be able to look at and look at either 6 or even 8 weeks away, and then start with that marathon program. And even once you start on the marathon program, we would also be able to look at sticking in a 10 and a 21 along the way, that you still look forward to a few races, that is not just one race 16 to 20 weeks into the future.
Okay, so then I guess just to keep in touch and
Stay in the forums, because another thing that I always tell people is that essentially you get out of this program what you put into it. The more you ask us, the more you learn, the better you get. So, you've got your little app and you can follow your program. And if you don't have anything to ask, you don't have anything to ask. But really, to get the value, it's to get into the forums, ask the questions, learn as much as you can.
Yeah, and it has been incredibly helpful. So I've tried to make use of it. As far as strength in between running days goes, I do a Pilates class and a yoga class Tuesdays and Thursdays. Is that enough? They are quite intense. It's not beginners classes. But
so the answer is yes. I mean, Pilates and yoga are slightly different. They achieve some of the same outcomes, slightly different focuses, but both of them are really excellent and complementary to running. And look, it always boils down to personality for me. I don't have a thing where I go that being in a gym is better strength training for running than doing Pilates and yoga. Pilates and yoga do a lot of the right type of strengthening, and as you've just said, it is challenging. I think if you got to a point where Pilates was no longer challenging, then it would be debatable whether a different kind of strength would be better, because you may also at that point be absolutely strong enough for purpose. And then do you need to be stronger? I mean, that's a question we'd have to answer at the time. So I think for now it is challenging. The type of strengthening that you are doing there is complementary to running. So you don't need to go finding more hours in your day to do more stuff.
Okay, great. Yeah. Yeah, that answers all my questions. Thank you.
Cool. Absolute pleasure. Great to chat and good luck for Sunday.
Thank you.
Are you running Johnson Crane?
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Okay, excellent. So I want to just leave you with the last bit of advice then for the weekend. So the nice thing about Johnson Crane is that it's not pancake flat, but it is fairly flat. So it allows for a really nice even effort of pacing. So you are aiming to run at roughly 6:23 per kilometer.
Sure. Okay.
That's your range. 6:23, 6:24 around there is going to get you to 2:15.
Okay.
And to get you to 2:20, so just so that you have a nice little range in case on the day you do feel a little bit overwhelmed. Is 38. So 6:38. So that's kind of your range, and that'll be 6:15 to 6:20. And you can run that fairly consistently. Like I said, there'll be some gradual drags where you'll slow down 10-15 seconds a K, and then you'll have some gradual downhills where you'll speed up 10-15 seconds a K.
Yeah. But
essentially it's a nice route for just even effort for the 21 Ks. You can be confident that you're capable. So I think you're going to do it.
I'll be really happy if I break, 2:20. So if 2:15 would be even better.
Yeah, awesome.
But thank you so much.
Pleasure. Good luck.
Another great call, and I can tell you, we recorded that before Taryn's race, obviously, as you heard, and that race has come and gone, so I can tell you how Taryn went in her 2:30, sub-2:30 half marathon attempt. She was going for a sub-2:25, that's what she was hoping for. Lindsay was quite bullish that she could go under 2:20, but I can tell you that she did go under 2:30, which is fantastic. This is what Taryn posted in the success forum after the race. She said, just a quick update on how my goal race at Johnson Crane went. After our chats, I was feeling nervous but ready to aim for a sub-2:20, but it wasn't to be. I know I have it in me, so I'll keep striving for it. But in the end, I ran a very comfortable 2:27, which is my second best 21K time ever. I have to say, it was really a comfortable race. I felt strong, didn't battle too much at all. So yes, probably could have pushed a little bit harder. I think perhaps I was running a little bit too conservatively. Another contributing factor could have slowed my progress down on race day is I made the mistake of keeping up with my yoga and Pilates in the final week of that training program. So in the week leading up to race day, not sure what your thoughts are. Thursday session before the race was extremely tough. It was a high intensity based Pilates class, which left her legs quite sore and stiff up until race day. I believe I should have tapered better and done some stretching after my runs in the final week rather than continuing with the intense strength training. At the end of the day, I followed the sub-2:30 half marathon program and got the sub-2:30, which I'm happy with. I was hoping for better, yes, but what I've learned from you guys over the last 12 weeks is priceless. I cannot wait for the rest of 2020 to see what it has in store. Thank you for your incredible support. Taryn, that is amazing. Well done. And the answer to that question about the Pilates, as Shona jumped into the forums, is you are spot on. But hey, that's the way we learn these things, and you know it for next time. So well done on that sub-2:30. That's amazing. And we look forward to see how you progress for the rest of the year. Stay in touch in the forums, and we look forward to seeing how you go. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, if you'd like to find out more about the Coach Perry Online Training Club, all you need to do is head over to coachperry.com/join.